Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
This is Pure Evil, the sentencing of Aiden Fucci. Immerse yourself in the gripping courtroom audio as justice unfolds in the chilling case of Tristan Bailey's murder. Witness the raw emotion, the powerful testimonies, and the unfiltered truth of Pure Evil, the sentencing of Aiden Fucci.
This is the seventh segment in the sentencing of Aiden Fucci. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for joining us. It's raw courtroom audio. Let's go there now.
The issue of any objections or exceptions to the pre-sentence investigation and the DJJ reports, I wanted to address that with you before we begin. So as to the pre-sentence investigation report, I know that the state had no objections or exceptions. Does the defense have any objections or exceptions to anything contained on this report?
No, Your Honor. The only addition or the only issue with both of them is that the defendant had prepared a letter. There was just an issue because of his housing that things were moved and getting the letter. We do have the letter and we'll submit it today.
Okay. And how about the adult sentencing summary report from DJJ? Any objections or exceptions to anything contained on that document?
Exception being regarding his statement. We do have that, and we'll provide it to the court today.
All right. Very well. Thank you. All right. And you said you have your first witness. I'm sorry. What was the name?
Raul Benasco.
All right. Raul Benasco. Sir, if you'll approach this railing in front of me and raise your right hand, do you swear or affirm the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
All right, sir, if you'll come on around here and have a seat in the witness stand, make yourself comfortable. You may adjust that microphone.
to work.
All right. Sir, please state your name.
Raul Espanasco, RaulEspanasco.
And how are you employed?
I am a prison consultant as well as a jail administrator.
Okay. And can you please give a brief summary of where you've worked in the past?
Started my career in the state of New York with juvenile justice system, and in 1988 joined the Florida State Department of Corrections as a corrections officer, in which I served that agency for 20 years in a variety of capacities. I was a classification officer, moved up the ranks as a classification supervisor, worked a variety of facilities, starting at Lake Correctional Institution, Maximum Security Prison, Central Florida Reception Center, and then got promoted to Polk CI as a senior supervisor and served the next 7 years as an assistant warden down south at Martin CI, Tomoka Correctional Institution outside of Daytona Beach, and then got promoted to Hernando CI as a warden and served in the capacity as director of staff development for the whole prison system for about 2 years, and then transitioned over to Orlando's County Jail and Osceola County Jail as well.
All right. And do you have any certifications?
Yes, I'm a certified jail administrator through the AJA Commission, as well as a certified corrections executive through ACA.
And what's your education?
My education background, my undergraduate degree is in psychology, as well as my master's in public administration through Florida Atlantic University.
And I heard your employment summary, but when was the last time you worked for the Florida Department of Corrections?
2006.
And from the time that you worked at the Florida Department of Corrections, are you familiar with the department's policies and procedures?
Yes.
Okay. And you said that you also worked in the county jail, Orange County and Osceola County?
Correct.
All right. Are you familiar with the policy and procedures with both the jails and the prisons in Florida?
Yes.
And have you been working as a consultant and an expert witness?
Yes.
How much do you charge?
$200 an hour.
And have you previously testified in court proceedings?
Yes.
How many times?
Over 27 times.
Okay. And have you previously testified as an expert?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, at this time, we'd offer Raul Bonasco as an expert in corrections policy. And
all right. Questions.
How did you first get involved in Aiden's case?
Yeah, I was contacted on March 7th, 2023 by yourself, Rosemary Peoples.
All right. And in the Florida Department of Corrections, how are juveniles held or housed?
The way juveniles are held, depending on how they're classified, juveniles can be sentenced up to the age of 21 by the courts as a youthful offender, or the department could classify them or categorize them up to the age of 24, in which they will go through the reception process, either Central Florida Reception Center in this case, and they will be sent to a prison based on their custody and their risk assessment and their behavior while in the county jail, as well as when they enter into the prison system.
All right. Now, do inmates have to work in prison?
I'm sorry?
Do inmates have to work in prison?
Yes, they do.
And does that include inmates that are sentenced to a term of years or life?
Yes, both.
Okay. What if they're disabled? Do they still have to work?
They still have to work.
And what happens if they refuse to work?
They will be put in confinement, as we often call it, the hole. If they fail to work, they will be given a rule infraction, which is known as disciplinary report. They will go through their administrative process and spend the sanction of their time in disciplinary confinement with no privileges, just the basic day-to-day living environment that we're providing to them.
All right. Now, how much of the work inside the prison is actually done by the inmates?
Approximately 80 to 85% of the prison system is sustained by the inmate labor that we housed.
And our inmates that are, what incentives are there for inmates that have a term of years versus a life sentence?
Well, for the most part, they're both the same. The incentives are, you can have commissary opportunities, visitations with your family and friends, phone calls, and recreation. All those things are just incentives, but at the end of the day, if you're not working, all those privileges will be taken away from you.
All right. So then, if someone's in prison and they're not following the rules, what would happen?
They would spend as much time in disciplinary confinement, and if they continue to behave in that fashion, The next level will be to send them to a facility known as close management, where we send the most egregious inmates who cannot function in the general population or can do harm to themselves, other inmates, or the staff. So we will place them in close management, and we have a designated prisons throughout the state that would deal with that population.
What's a disciplinary referral?
A disciplinary referral is pretty much a rule infraction. The Department of Corrections has a variety of rule infractions, either from a minor disciplinary report to a major, and each of those have carry an infraction of either loss of gain time or placement in disciplinary confinement for an extended period of time.
And it sounds like then there's different levels of disciplinary reports?
Correct. There's minor disciplinary reports. For example, a minor disciplinary report might be disobeying a verbal order or written order or tattooing, which might give you privileges taken away or even maybe put you on probation. While anyone who assaults an officer, assaults an inmate, or basically has any kind of physical activity or might be a danger to the population can be placed in disciplinary confinement. That's a major disciplinary report.
Then are the disciplinary reports, are they handled differently with a county jail versus prison?
Well, county jails have a sort of different process. County jails, for the most part, because they're short-term type of inmates for the most part, they have their own disciplinary processes, but they pretty much mirror themselves. They have identified certain charges that are minor, as well as those major disciplinary reports that are for major rule infractions. So they have a different system, but it sort of mirrors itself.
Now, looking at, again, turning to prisons, Florida Department of Corrections, what programs are available to juveniles or younger offenders?
Well, it depends. When they come to the reception process, one of the things we have to do is look at them, at their sentence structure, look at their release date, if they're serving a life sentence, also their medical grade, mental health grade, and then we do an assessment and we determine what is the prison that will best fit this individual. And more important, keeping public safety paramount. And in this particular case, with the Department of Corrections, there's only two facilities at this time due to closures that can house an individual like this, and that is either Suwanee Correctional Institution, where we send all the maximum security male youthful offenders, or Lake City Correctional Institution, which is another facility we contract with. I say we, the Department of Corrections contracts with, that we send the two type of male youthful offenders. The women go to Lowell CI, where they have about 5,000 women housed at that facility.
So it sounds like the youthful or the juveniles under 21 then are sent to Lake City or the other place you just mentioned.
In both climates are different. So for the most part, those who are following the rules and don't have a lot of behavior issues will most likely end up at Suwanee Correctional Institution. We send more of the most challenging population of youth over to Lake City Correctional Institution, where they deal with more of the behavior and aggressive behavior that comes with youthful offenders.
And you said more, is there more aggressive behavior with youthful offenders?
In my years of experience running a youthful offender camp, what you see is individuals who are between the age of 13, I've seen them come into the prison system, to the age of 24, which they still haven't developed a lot of their social skills. And also there's a lot of turfs, in which they have to prove themselves. So they tend to be very aggressive or have to do the give the perception that they're strong, and they get into a lot of behavioral challenges, which they find themselves fighting a lot and getting themselves in a lot of trouble, in which that population is very challenging to manage as an administrator.
Now, in terms of, I was asking about programs earlier, has there been a change over the years in the programs available to the youth in the Department of Corrections?
Yes, most recently they have this new program called CNIS, which is now an integrated risk assessment program that they just rolled out, which happens at the reception center. So to paint the picture, there's three reception centers in the state of Florida, South Florida, North Florida, and Central Florida for males, in which at the reception center now we have technology, we have tablets, in which the inmates have to answer a variety of questionnaires. That is all tabulated, and it is assessed in this new component of risk assessment and determined what will meet their risk assessment, because the goal is to deal from community to prison. So these are individuals that they're trying to identify so we can give them the resources the agency can. So hopefully when they get released, they don't get reoffended and come back into the system. The challenge that the current system has, like most historically also, is that those inmates who are sentenced to death or life sentence or have a severe mental health issue are excluded from this new risk assessment program. That's something that will be considered much later down the road, because they're trying to capture the population that has at least 36 months from release, to capture that population to provide them with services in the efforts of hopefully them not reoffending.
All right. So with a life sentence, there's some programs may be available. Is it fair to describe that a juvenile with a life sentence would be a bottom of the priority list to access these programs?
Yes. Youthful offenders will never be denied program opportunities, but they were not on the priority list. They're not on the spectrum. The goal is to eventually give them an opportunity, but looking at the population that's going to be released in hopes that they would benefit more effectively with the programs offered.
In prison, what's the typical day for an inmate?
Typical day for an individual in prison, basically at 4:30 in the morning, you're waked up, you're woken up, you have to go to count. Then we march you down to the chow hall. You have up to 10 minutes in which you have to eat your meal. You don't get the opportunity to sit next to your friend. The goal is get in, get out. You go back to your housing unit. You go through another count. You go through various counts throughout the 24-hour cycle. You get back to your dormitory, and then you have either your work assignment or your program assignment in which you have to be where you need to be. If you have any kind of medical appointments, you have to follow those as well. And basically throughout the entire day, it's regimented. You're told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and the expectation that you follow the rules of the Department of Corrections.
I'm going to pose an objection. I'm not sure what relevance the day-to-day life someone might have in prison is relevant to the sentencing factors in this particular case.
Thank you, Your Honor. Then in terms of looking specifically to this case, you received some materials that you were able to review?
Yes, I did.
And in review of those materials from the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, what information were you able to glean from that?
What I was able to receive from the Jacksonville was several informational sheets, incident reports of his involvement in an altercation or a group situation with other inmates, as well as his confinement records, where he was either in general population or in isolation for self-harm or for protection as well.
All right. And in terms of his confinement in Duval, there's that incident report. What was the resolution for that?
On one of the reports on December 25th, he checked himself in because he was in fear of his life, because he stated in his statement that he was being harassed or bullied over his commissary. Coincidentally, that same day from December 25th to January 25th, Sergeant Cox was assigned to investigate a variety of allegations made by other inmates in his housing environment he was at the time, I think, 15, and the other inmates were 17. And basically, there was some concerning behavior that the officer had observed, that he had made some threats to another inmate, as well as there were some other hearsay conversations. But at the end, was not clear on what came out of that circumstance. Just basically, the incident report was provided to me, and that was the only information I was provided by the Jacksonville County Sheriff's Office.
Right. Then, looking to what you had said earlier about that juvenile population having behavioral issues, was that uncommon what you read in that report, seeing that other juveniles were fighting with each other, having behavioral issues with each other?
Dealing with this population, it's not uncommon. They are going to get into a variety of fights and steal from each other. That's just the juvenile behavior that happens. And that's sort of what we deal with in the corrections environment. And I think in also referencing Sergeant Cox, I know in his deposition, he is familiar with that as well. It sort of happens in county jails as well as prisons. That's just a very challenging population.
Now, did you speak with any of Aiden's family members?
Yes, I did.
And who was that?
His mother, Crystal Smith.
And what did you learn in that conversation?
In the short period of time I spoke with her, what I learned was that he was in eighth grade at the time of the crime that was committed, and that he had some sort of learning challenge in which she provided tutoring lessons after class, and that he was raised in a Christian faith family.
Were you able to speak to anyone from the Jacksonville or the Duval jail?
No, ma'am. I made an attempt to speak to Chief Calloway, who's the jail administrator for Duval County. He was on vacation, and as recent as yesterday, he reached out to me, and I reached out to him, but we never had an opportunity to communicate and talk.
In the so Aiden's been in custody since May 9th, and he's moved around a bit, meaning there was a short period where he was in Volusia, and the majority of time, is it fair to say he's been in Duval?
Correct.
All right. How long has he been in custody overall?
He's been in custody over 22 months. He came into St. John's on May 9th, and on May 10th, he was a direct file in which they moved him over to the juvenile detention Volusia regional facility over in Daytona Beach for about 18 days. And then on May 28th, he was transferred over to Duval County, Jacksonville County Sheriff's Office.
And in his time, you mentioned it earlier, but so he's been in protective custody, or if you can explain the difference.
Of the 22 months he's been in Duval, pretty much he's been in some form of self-harm or protective custody for about 17 months. He's only remained in different stints of time, 5 months in general population.
And is it common for a juvenile that's direct filed with adult charges for that child to be in this form of protective custody?
Case by case. Sometimes what you do have is some of the younger population that, depending on the size, their maybe their lack of exposure to the criminal justice system, they will utilize the opportunity to go into self-harm or might have a mental health crisis or even for protection from other circumstances, that they will utilize that as an option to get out of their circumstances. So it does happen from time to time, but it's case by case.
Okay. Now, in terms of Aiden's family, were they able to discuss their ability to contact him or financially support him?
Yes, his mother shared with me. She communicates with him weekly, as well as she provides as much as she can to his commissary account, so he has some way to sustain himself for items that he wants to purchase.
Right. Does Aiden have a work history?
No. He was 14 at the time of his arrest, and from my records, he was not employed or had that opportunity due to his age.
So what special skills does he have, if any?
He has none.
Okay. In terms of, because you did do some classification work in your years in DOC?
Or approximately about 7 years, yes, ma'am.
All right. With what you know of the charge or what he's pending sentencing on, how would he be classified, meaning Aiden?
He would be classified as close custody given the due to the crime that was committed, as well as most likely his sentence. But because of the crime, he would be close custody throughout the Department of Corrections.
And based on your experience then, how would a term of years versus a life sentence change Aiden's classification, if any?
The difference would be a term of years would give him an opportunity for a judge to review his sentence at a later date, and also give him perhaps the opportunity to get, I could say, placed on a priority list or a little higher level to be considered for some kind of vocational programming or cognitive development courses, anger management, those things that might be suitable based on his risk assessment outcome.
So the programs that are there, he would have some priority if he had a term of years versus a life sentence?
Given the Department of Corrections challenges, if those who have a lesser sentence or have an opportunity to be reviewed at a later date will most likely be moved up on the list.
All right. And then, but the classification wouldn't change if it's a life sentence or a term of years?
Absolutely not. He would remain close custody based on my years of experience.
All right. Now, Aiden can read, so what opportunities would he have, for example, a GED program?
That would be something that the Department of Corrections Education Department would have to do based on the risk assessment, have him go through a TAP test, and look at the opportunity when his role would come and if they had a slot for him to be enrolled in the GED program, given the circumstances of only two prisons at this time designated for youthful offenders, which is where the department is challenged with a big population and very few prisons to house them.
At what point, with a term of years then, because the minimum that Aiden would be eligible for is 40, at what point would he be moved, or would he be moved after the age of 25?
Well, he's subject to be moved at any time. It depends on his institutional adjustment. So regardless of what prison he gets sent to, he can turn 18, and if he's not functioning well in a youthful offender camp or will, we can send him to an adult prison throughout the state of Florida.
All right. And is it fair to describe then that based on your experience, well, let me ask, based on your experience, what would you anticipate placement then specific for Aiden?
Most likely he would probably be placed at Suwannee Correctional Institution, which based on his age, he's a lot younger than those that they send over to Lake City Correctional Institution, but most likely he would be sent to Suwannee Correctional Institution to see how he does in adjustment at that facility.
All right. And I understand your answer earlier, but just to clarify, so in either instance, whether it's a term of years of life, he would be eligible for programs. Is that fair?
Yes, he would.
But with a life sentence, then the priority or his access to those programs would be diminished.
Correct.
Fair to say that with a life sentence, he'd be at the bottom of any list because the priority would be for the individuals or the juveniles with 36 months or less.
Yes.
And it wasn't always like that, is that fair to say, because the resources have now been reduced?
Yeah, a lot has changed in the last few years, particularly with COVID, but I left the system in 2006, and years ago there was a lot of opportunity for rehabilitative programs. At the end of the day, resources were different. The economy was in a different place, and we all in the corrections profession, not only just in prison systems but in county jails, a lot of our educational cognitive development courses are sort of not as available because the resources are not out there and the employment and the workforce is a challenge to get those folks in. That's why we're doing all type of interesting things with technology, with tablets, trying to provide as many program services as possible in a corrections environment.
All right. And based on your experience, do you believe that Aiden can contribute to the prison system if he's sentenced to a term of years instead of a life sentence?
Well, if he's sentenced to a term of years, the opportunity to get involved in some kind of vocational program would benefit the Department of Corrections, so he can learn some kind of trade and put that trade to work to benefit the taxpayers of the state of Florida by putting him to help maintain the facilities that we have to maintain throughout the state.
Okay. No further questions, Your Honor.
Good morning, Mr. Bonesco.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
You do almost all of your work as a private consultant is criminal, correct?
Correct.
90% of your work is in the criminal realm.
Correct.
80% of that work that you've done is for the defense. Is that right?
Yes.
And in fact, you've never been retained as an expert in your field by any state agency in the state of Florida, correct?
No.
And you said you were contacted about this case on March the 7th, which is 12 days ago?
Yes.
2 weeks ago? And in that time, you have reviewed records to come to court today and to testify about what you think is best for the defendant, in this case, Aiden Fucci, is that right?
Based on my years of experience on the information, yes.
Okay. Have you ever met with Aiden Fucci?
No.
Why not?
Never had the opportunity because of the time constraints and because where he was placed, my understanding, in Duval County, it was very restrictive in having access to him.
You live here in the state of Florida, correct?
Yes, sir.
You said that did anybody at the Duval County Jail tell you that you could not meet with Mr. Fucci?
No, sir.
Did anybody else tell you that you would not be permitted to speak with Mr. Fucci?
No, sir.
So why didn't you meet with Mr. Fucci?
When I spoke to the public defender's office, the time constraints were very tight, and actually reaching out to Chief Galloway, those were one of the things I know I was hoping to maybe get an opportunity to meet with him in person, but it just never came to fruition.
You were contacted 2 weeks ago, and you don't think that you had enough time to meet with Mr. Fucci within that 2 weeks?
In talking with the public defender's office and where he was housed, it was my understanding that would have been a challenge at the time.
I see. So the public defender's office told you that you could not meet with Mr. Fucci?
Objection, Your Honor, asked and answered.
They did not give you the opportunity to meet with him, correct?
Yes.
Would you have liked to have met with him?
Objection, Your Honor, asked and answered.
If the opportunity was afforded to me, yes.
And why is that?
It's always a good opportunity. If the opportunity is provided, it's always good to have a good conversation to know face-to-face where that individual is, based just having a report on records.
Now, you mentioned, you discussed some altercations that Mr. Fucci had gotten into, some records that you reviewed on that, is that right?
Yes.
And to kind of start off this conversation, you'd indicated that, I think you were pointing out that he has basically been sort of in a confinement status at the Duval County Jail for all but, I think you said 5 days, is that right?
No, he's been in general population approximately 5 months.
Okay.
And 17 have been, as they categorize it, isolation cell, either for mental health or self-harm or for protection.
Okay. And I wanted to talk about that. You had indicated that he was in that confinement situation because of, I guess, some indications of self-harm. Did you read in any of the records where Mr. Fucci actually committed acts of self-harm at all?
No.
Did you review, did you see any medical records where he had injured himself in any way?
No.
Isn't it true, Mr. Benasco, that sometimes that those records, when they say self-harm, he may be placed in that status as a precautionary measure?
Yes.
Is there any indication whatsoever that it was anything more than simply precautionary?
In some instances, this often happens because of the notoriety of the case. They place him in that status as well. And I think in one of the documents it was sort of referenced because someone might have heard about his case or was in the news or something.
Isn't it also correct that someone can be placed in confinement status for disciplinary reasons?
Yes.
And in fact, in one of the stretches where he was in confinement, the date that he was placed in confinement coincided with a report where he had threatened another inmate.
Correct. That's, he had checked himself in on December 25th. And that's when Sergeant Cox reports referenced December 25th to January 25th, the period of time in which there was a...
Let's talk a little bit about that. What was the date that he had self-reported?
December 25th, 21.
Of 2021, is that correct?
Yes.
And you had kind of indicated that was the same date that the report had issued that he had threatened someone, right?
Yes, the report that was written by Sergeant Cox covers the period of December 25th, 2021 to January 25th of 2021, in which he completed on the January 27th of 2021.
Isn't it true, sir, that that report was dated January the 25th of 2022?
The signature is the 22, correct. Okay. But on the front of the report, it started December 25th, 21, excuse me, to January 25th, 22.
The report, though, indicates the threat occurred on January the 25th of 2022. That's when it was reported, correct?
That's when it was reported.
Right. That's a year
later.
That's a year later, right? Mm-hmm. So those two things don't necessarily coincide.
Well, I would bear to differ. The incident that he checked himself in was December 25th, 21, according to the report.
Right.
And the report by Sergeant Cox covers a span of December 25th, 21 to January 25th, 2022.
I understand what you're trying to say, but you're trying to convey that he was placed in confinement because he was in fear of his life. And
the
you're
records,
trying to coincide that event with this other incident that occurred where he threatened an inmate, right?
No, what I'm trying to state is he checked himself in on the 21st, December 21, excuse me, December 25th of 2021, and in the synopsis report that covers December 25th, 21 to January 25th, 22. In the report from Sergeant Cox, it makes reference to a variety of allegations from other inmates, as well as an officer observing some behavior by him. So it sort of butt ups against the report. He checks himself in, and when they reviewed that period of time, it backs up into the date he checked himself in for self-harm.
But my original question, though, was one of the stretches that he spent in confinement, the date of that, the beginning of his confinement period, coincided with the date that it was reported that he had threatened another inmate.
That's correct.
And he threatened another inmate by saying he was going to stab him, correct?
That's what stated in the report. Yes, sir.
Now, you had indicated earlier that it was not clear how that sort of investigation turned out.
Correct. I was requesting hopefully additional more information to find out what resulted from that.
So you didn't review any disciplinary reports?
I was not furnished that information, sir.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your testimony concerning some of the things you said about the difference between a term of years sentence versus a life sentence. You had indicated that it was your understanding that it was only under a term of year sentence that Mr. Fucci would receive some type of review. Did I understand you correctly?
No, because they're youthful offenders, they are going to get a period of review where the judge can look at possibly modifying their sentence.
Okay. So you understand that whether he gets a term of years sentence or whether he gets a life sentence, he's going to still have a review?
Correct.
And so for juveniles, a person who's been sentenced to a crime that committed while he was a juvenile, there's, regardless of what the sentence is going to be, there's a possibility he could get out one day.
That's correct.
And the Department of Corrections understands this.
That's correct.
And so there are programs that would be available to him. Is that right?
Programs are always going to be available. It's just a priority.
Okay. One moment, Your Honor.
Not the
any redirect?
Briefly, Your Honor.
Good morning, Mr. Benasco.
Good morning.
2 weeks ago, basically, when I'd sent you the paperwork available, I'd indicated these are the DRs that I'm aware of. And on review, you explained to me that they were not DRs.
That's correct.
And that's when we started the ball rolling, so to speak, to see if you could speak to Captain Calloway in Jacksonville Sheriff's
Office. Chief Calloway, yes.
Chief Calloway, I apologize. So on your review again of what I presume was a DR, what was the result of that incident?
It was very unclear. Basically, there were some allegations made. The officer did witness the individual, Fucci, make a threat against another inmate. And there was an extensive assessment of several inmates and witnesses of complaints, as well as his statement as well.
All right.
That's all I could gather from the information.
And then looking to the population, because they're all juveniles there, and they're all juveniles with serious charges in Jacksonville, is that fair to say?
Fair to say there's most youthful offenders who are in that environment usually have some very, very heinous crimes they were committed. Yes, ma'am.
Right. And is it uncommon, or let me backstep out of it, is it uncommon for different groups to form within jails?
No.
Okay. And if an individual enters a jail and doesn't have any association with any of those groups, is his time in jail more difficult?
Most likely, with my years of experience, they have to identify with a group, or they will be often preyed on, unless depending on their demeanor and their response to certain kind of jailhouse or prison house environment, they either survive, flight, or fight.
All right. So part of the behavior issues that come out with juveniles, is that born out of this issue of they need to defend themselves against the other juveniles that are there?
Well, in my years of experience, and particularly with juveniles in the adult prison system, that is their defense mechanism for the most part, unless they're individuals who know people in prison or have gang affiliations. But unless they're not really connected, they sort of have to find their way, navigate the environment, and sort of attach themselves with somebody in order to most likely not be part of the overall management challenges that administrators have to deal with.
And for the juvenile that has no one to attach to, solitary would be a safe place. Is that fair?
It's common that they would check themselves in for their own safety or a variety of other reasons, but that is usually the go-to to sort of check out of your housing environment.
All right. And that's similar to what we see with Aiden Fucci in the county jail records?
From my records, he has spent the majority of his time in protective custody or some form of isolation, which he has not really functioned much in general population. So that is correct.
No further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Can I ask a few more questions?
Mr. Bonasco, I want to ask you about the confinement situation. Did you ever go to the Duval County Jail to see kind of what the setup was?
No, sir.
Did you ever review the deposition of Officer Cox?
Sergeant Cox, yes, sir.
You did review his deposition. Mm-hmm. So you saw that in his deposition he indicated that the juveniles that are placed in confinement are not there by themselves. They're actually there with other juveniles.
Sometimes at two or three. I read that.
So he's not there in isolation completely alone.
No, but for the most part, not in general population, but it's their form of isolation as they classify it.
I think in one circumstance he indicated there was could be as many as 10 juveniles in that area, correct?
I did read that as well.
Nothing further.
All right. Excused. All right.
One more follow-up, Your Honor. You have the inmate housing location records?
I'm sorry.
The inmate housing location records?
Yes, I do.
All right. So there are instances where he has another bunkie, so to speak, for a short period of time, but it's still fair to describe him as in isolation or housed alone for the majority of the time?
Let me make reference to that again. There was some instances where I remember where sometimes he had one bunkie, sometimes he had no bunkie, sometimes he had two or three in his room.
Okay. No further questions, Your Honor.
All right,
Ms.
Wentz,
excuse. Yes,
sir. Sir, you're free to go. Thank you. We'll call another witness.
Dwayne Barton.
Dwayne Barton.
Good morning.
You can come on up here. If you will pause right there, raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right, sir. If you'll come on around and have a seat in the witness stand, make yourself comfortable, and you may adjust that microphone.
Please state your name.
Dwayne Barton.
Okay. And how are you employed?
I'm employed with the Department of Juvenile Justice.
Sorry. And how long have you been employed with the Department of Juvenile Justice?
Since December 2002.
All right. And so that's 20 years roughly with the Department of Juvenile Justice?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. How far did you go with your education?
Bachelor's degree.
Okay. And what job titles have you held over the years with the Department of Juvenile Justice?
Juvenile probation officer, supervised release tracker, alternative to secure detention officer.
All right. Now, Turning specifically to this case, how did you become involved with Aiden Fucci?
Circuit 7, St. John's County, requested that Duval County provide courtesy supervision / wellness checks on Aiden.
All right. And in terms of your wellness checks, what did that mean? What exactly were you doing?
Basically just checking to see if he was being abused, if he had any bruises, marks. He was being involved in fights with staff or with his peers.
All right. So how often would you see Aiden?
Once a month or every other month.
And how did he appear to you the first time you saw him?
The first initial visit, he appeared very anxious. He paced back and forth in the interview room, and he indicated he was hearing voices.
Was he make? You said he was pacing back and forth. Did he make any eye contact with you?
Very little.
And did you see any marks on his arms?
He did have some what appeared to be old marks. I'm not sure how he got those, but they didn't appear to be deep marks. It was just like scratches.
All right. And did he indicate any issues? Well, you said hearing voices. Did he indicate anything else?
No, not to them.
All right.
I recall.
And you continue to see him each month, every other month, roughly?
Yes.
All right. And the purpose of that, when you say wellness check, what exactly are you checking on?
Again, just checking to see if he was, you know, being involved in fights, if he had any bruises, just make sure he wasn't being abused.
Okay. Did his demeanor with you change over time?
It appeared that he got, you know, a little more comfortable with me because I was seeing him more frequent.
Did he start to make eye contact with you?
Yes.
So over time, the two of you are actually having conversations without him pacing?
Yes.
All right. How many visits in total do you think you've made with Aiden over the years?
I believe it was like 9.
Okay. And at times, were you encouraging Aiden to work with the mental health staff?
I was.
All right. Go ahead.
Almost each time, I would tell him to, if he was having any issues, to reach out to the mental health staff at the jail.
But you specifically weren't having any conversations with them?
No.
All right. So you're encouraging to meet with the mental health staff?
Yes.
Okay. Did he follow your advice?
I'm not certain. I do know that he did indicate that he had previously put in a sick call request for some medication for acne.
Okay. And then in terms of the voices, is that something that continued on for a period of time? Meaning his reporting it to you?
It was reported each time.
He also indicated to you that he was taking certain medications?
Yes, initially he said he was taking lithium, but it also changed. He was taking Remeron and Zoloft, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Now, you've indicated that you've worked with DJJ for about 20 years?
Yes.
Okay. And over your 20 years, well, let me ask you, how many juveniles have you supervised on average per year?
I couldn't answer that.
All right, so over the 20 years, you wouldn't have an answer of how many juveniles you've worked with?
No.
Right. Fair to say almost countless?
Countless, yes.
All right. Then, and in terms of you actually going into the jails and having wellness visits, Aiden's not the first kid you've done this with?
To this extent, yes.
Go ahead.
I have gone in and checked on other kids, but it wasn't not that often.
All right. And then in terms of children reporting, whether in custody or out. Aiden's not the first child that you've worked with that's reported having some issues in terms of hearing voices.
I don't recall any other kids other than Aiden reporting. If they did report it, we would make referrals to different providers.
Go ahead.
That's pretty much the extent of it.
But what I'm getting to is that over the years, and it's been 20 years, you've had to work with children that are on, that are having some mental health issues, meaning you're not counseling, but you're working with others that are working with the children on those issues.
Yes.
All right. In terms of you sitting with Aiden one-on-one, so he's less anxious, there's more eye contact. So after a period of time, the two of you are able to work or at least speak to each other? Or is there an improvement in the communications between the two of you?
Yes.
Okay. With your interactions with him, were there any behavioral issues?
No, never.
When he's reporting to you the hearing voices, you don't follow up and ask specifically what he's hearing. Is that fair to say?
No, ma'am.
That's not what you're there for?
No.
Okay. You're aware that, or is it fair to say part of the reason you're doing the wellness check so long is because Aiden was in solitary for a period of time?
I'm not sure if it was solitary. I think they...
Confinement, I'm sorry. The phrase
isolation. Isolation due to his age.
All right. And have you seen, over your 20 years, children sitting in confinement for that long a period of time?
I haven't. I haven't had any kids that has been in long as Aiden has.
In confinement?
That I'm aware of, no.
Okay. One moment.
Good morning, Mr. Barton.
Good morning.
So these wellness checks that you were doing with Mr. Fucci, I believe you stated you would make visits to the jail and meet several kids in the same day, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he wasn't the only juvenile that you were checking on that was charged as an adult in that jail, right?
No.
Okay. And the point of those checks, it sounds like you kind of summarized it. You were looking for abuse, any signs of injury, general wellness checks, like how they're doing, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And did you ever see with him, or were there any complaints about abuse by another inmate, let's say?
No. He did indicate that he was involved in a physical altercation on one occasion.
Okay, so he told you about a fight he had one time, but outside that fight, any abuse by staff or other inmates?
Not
he never
that
complained
I'm aware.
Of that. Okay. And when you met with these kids, you described it wasn't like a checklist that you had verbatim, but there were all you checked on the same things every time and kind of asked the same questions every time. Is that fair?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you asked that of all the kids you visit, not just Mr. Fucci.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And one of the things you talk about or ask is about, are you seeing things that, or hearing voices, right?
Not necessarily. I would ask, you know, are you currently taking any medications? And, they'll report, I'm taking lithium for, you know, hearing voices or depression or bipolar,
okay.
Things of that nature.
But that's being checked on, a general mental health question's being
yes.
asked every time. So he's answering you in response to that.
Yes, ma'am.
And as you stated, you have a lot of experience with DJJ, but you're not a psychologist, right?
I'm not.
Okay, so you don't get into the details. You're there basically to document his well-being and then advise him of resources that may be available for him while he's in the jail?
Yes.
Okay. And that very first visit you had with him where he was anxious, sort of pacing, was that close in time to his arrest and being moved to that jail?
I believe it was June of 2021.
Okay.
So I'm not really certain if it within that month or, you know, a couple days.
Right. That was the first time. And then his interaction with you got better. He was calmer with you after that, right?
Yes.
Okay. He denied, one of the things you ask about is if they have any suicidal thoughts, and he denied that when you met with him over the time.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you never saw any proof or evidence that he was trying to harm himself in any way?
No, ma'am.
You would have reported that, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You testified in your deposition that when you met with the juveniles, it's not like you went to their cell. You were put in a room and they were brought to you. Is that fair?
That's correct.
Okay. And you weren't sure the breakdown of how many days he spent in general population versus administrative confinement versus true isolation, right? You don't know those numbers.
I don't.
Okay. So you wouldn't be viewing him in the setting. He would be brought to you.
He would be brought.
Okay. So that information is best to come from the jail.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you also had testified when asked about his maturity level that you felt he was pretty mature for his age.
I did.
Okay. And you've been doing this and working with juveniles for 20 years, right?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
All right. No further questions.
Any regrets?
No, sir.
All right. This one's the excuse.
Thank you very much, sir. You're free to go.
Thank you.
May I see the attorneys at sidebar?
St. John's County Circuit Court, return to order.
You could all be seated. Thank you. All right. Is this testimony? So she'll be coming.
Yes, sir.
All right, ma'am, if you'll come forward, please. You can come on up. If you'll pause right there and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
All right, ma'am, you can come on around here and have a seat in the witness stand. Adjust that microphone if you could scoot forward just a little bit. All right, thank you. Counsel, you're a witness.
Thank you. Please state your name.
Debbie. Sorry. Debbie.
And your full name?
Deborah Spiewak.
All right. And where do you live?
Live Oak.
And how many children do you have?
I have 4 children.
And how many grandchildren?
12.
Debbie, how do you know Aiden?
He's my grandson.
And how long have you known him?
Since he was born.
And how often would you see Aiden over the years?
All the time.
And when you say all the time, how is that?
We're always together. We're a big family. We do everything together. We're always together. I stayed with them too because I work here in Jacksonville, so it saved me a drive to not have to drive home all the time. So I would stay with my daughter and her family.
So a lot of dinners and breakfasts you would see Aiden?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay. Who did Aiden live with?
Primarily with his mom, but his dad and his mom shared, custody.
So how often would he spend days or weekends with his father?
They alternate. I think his dad got him Tuesday and Thursdays and every other weekend, so that's how they worked it. They were really adamant on having their days. Nobody wanted to miss their time.
Okay. Both parents wanted to spend time with him?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And how many brothers or how many children does... Sorry, Aiden's your grandson by your daughter?
Yes.
Okay. And how many children does she have?
She has 5.
Okay. And where is Aiden in that group of 5 children?
He's in the middle.
Now, did the 5 kids get along?
Yeah, they get along just like normal kids. Yeah, I've never seen any fighting or arguing or any problems at all. It was a pretty happy home.
Okay. How would you describe Aiden in that home with the other five kids?
Aiden's always been silly and funny and the jokester of the kids. He was always happy. Every picture I have, he smiles. I don't know what happened.
Now, what's your daughter, Aiden's mother, like?
Oh, she's a good person. She's good-hearted and kind and sweet. And just, she's my daughter. I love her.
And his father? What's Aiden's father like?
Oh, he's a good man. He's always been in their lives, and you don't see that often when people split up. There's always one that stays out of their life, but he's always stayed in his son's life from the beginning.
Now, what holidays would you share with Aiden?
All of them, and especially birthdays, because my youngest daughter, their birthdays were like a few days apart, and so we always celebrate them together.
Meaning Aiden and your daughter?
Yes, my youngest daughter.
All right. And would sometimes those celebrations be at your daughter's home and sometimes in Live Oak?
A lot of times on my property because, it's country. They like to ride the four-wheelers and go to the springs and river. And I have a lot of family out there and, I kind of came together there.
So where did the kids spend the summer?
Well, some in Jacksonville and some out there with me. They like to, like I said, they like the country. I like being out there, but it's just more peaceful out there and happy and just the four-wheelers. Kids love four-wheelers, and we go to springs a lot in the summer and cookouts and bonfires, and we hit Itchtuckney a lot. And what was the other part of that question? Sorry.
So in the summer, now sometimes would Aiden come with you and the family? Was there any other activities, say the Bible camps in the summer?
Yeah, they like to come. We have vacation Bible school every summer. So him and his older sibling would come for that. And they like to go to the church with me. And church always had little events and activities, so they'd come do that with me too.
Okay. Now, Tristan, Aiden's responsible for taking Tristan's life on Sunday, May 9th. Yeah. But what was the plan for the night before that Saturday night for Aiden?
Well, he was supposed to go with his cousins because they were going to spend the night at my other daughter's house. And so the boys were supposed to come pick them up, and they picked up his older brother, but he wasn't there yet. I guess he was still with his friend. So he had called them to please come back and pick me up, but they said they didn't have any gas. So that's why he never made it over there. And then, I guess, this happened.
So that night the plan was for Aiden and his brother to go out with some cousins.
Yeah, they were going to spend the night over there at my other daughter's house.
Okay.
And his oldest brother made it, but he wasn't there yet. They said he was still with his friends, and they didn't want to wait around. So when he had called them to come back and pick him up, they said they didn't have gas money. And so he ended up staying home.
So there wasn't enough gas money to come back and get Aiden?
Right, that's what they said.
Now, what mental illness do you know of in your family?
Well, the only thing I've experienced with any of that was, my son goes through a lot of depression. He still does. He always has, even since he was a teenager. My ex, which is my kid's dad, has a lot of mental issues. He has things going on. He still has things going on. He's in and out of jail. But I left him when my kids were real little, so I didn't want to put them through any kind of stuff like that.
So, your son, Aiden's uncle, when was he first Baker acted? Or how old was he?
He was like 14.
Right. So his first Baker act, he was 14.
Right, he started getting a little bit of trouble, but we pulled through it, counseling and help, we pulled through it. But he's still depressed, he has his moments, he falls.
So you understand what Aiden's here for?
Yes.
All right. Is that the boy you knew?
He's not the boy that I knew. I don't know what happened. He's always been good and happy. I'm so sorry. Sorry. I still need my mama, right? Wow, this is so hard. I'm so sorry. He has a good family. We don't condone what happened. And We're very sorry for your loss. He's always been such a good kid, and I don't even know where that came from. I mean, he doesn't have any bad in his family or around him, or I don't know. I can't explain. I just don't know.
Now, in terms of Aiden around the family, that included hamsters, animals. Was he ever harmful to any of the pets?
No. I mean, we all have animals, and no, he's never been mean to any animals.
And then there's younger siblings, so he's got a little sister.
Yeah.
How did he interact with her?
Well, they were very close, especially his little sister. They always played around. He was real close to her, and she still asks for him all the time, and she still doesn't know what's going on, and she wonders why she can't see her brother. So, but they miss him very much. And I think I'm pretty much the voice for the family, and I know I'm probably the first that y'all have seen, and probably want to throw darts at me, but I mean, I'm sorry. We have a good family, very good Christian family, and we're loving people, and we just don't know what happened. I think we're all trying to wonder what happened.
Now, you've seen the newsreels with Aiden in the car. Again, is that the boy you knew?
No, when I seen that with him in there, it's like he was on something. I could tell, you just know, because you're around him all the time, and he just looked like he was high on some kind of drugs. You know, I don't know. It wasn't the same person that I know and see every day. So, I mean,
How has Aiden's arrest affected your family?
Well, we haven't had a family event since. You know,
relevance, any of the factors?
Overall.
We're sad all the time. You know, I mean, this is something you don't plan for. It happens, and you just don't know why, and I pray every day for both families, and I try to stay strong for my children and my grandchildren, because I'm pretty much been their mother, their father, and their grandmother and grandfather. And she always cries. My daughter always cries, and then I cry, and they all cry, and you know. So I just wish I could have changed how things might have happened if I could have been there, you know.
And what would you like to say to the court?
I want to say to the family, I'm so sorry. I wish I could change what happened. And we pray for you every day. I pray for you every day. I pray for my family every day. And I just hope that you find peace somewhere. And just know that he has a good family and we miss him. And we lost a child too, you know. I know there's not physically here, but he's here, and we just miss him, and which just didn't happen. I don't know, you know. I had a letter ready, because you know I knew I wouldn't speak right when I got up here, and I could just leave the letters, or I can read the letters, or you know. You want me to try to read the letters?
Go ahead.
I had to plan in my mind what I would say, but when you get up here and you're so overwhelmed, you just don't know what to say, because it's just a very tragic situation, you know? It's just tragic. Do you want me to read these? Okay. This is to the family for me. I just wanted to tell you that I'm feeling very deep sadness for the loss of your beautiful daughter, and I know the heartache you must be going through is just terrible, and I will pray for you every day, I promise, and I just hope you find peace, you know, sometime, you know, and closure for what happened. Thank God for you, Your Honor. I can't see real good, I'm sorry. Probably look a mess. I just wanted to tell you,
I know he has to be punished and for his actions, and I love him, and his family love him very much, too. And I know we're a very large Christian family, and we pray all the time, and I just hope you consider a little bit, and please don't take him out of our lives forever. I know that I've died and not be able to spend time with him sometime before I go. I am not good at this. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I know there's some good in Aiden. I don't know what happened to him that this caused, but I know there's some good in him. And I think if we find that out, what caused him to do this, you know, maybe we'll have more understanding of what happened. I don't know. I can't think. I just can't think. All right. I'm sorry.
Sorry. No further questions, Your Honor.
I'm sorry. So sorry.
Oh. Afternoon, I think it is now, Ms. Spiewak. Just so the court understands, you live outside of Jacksonville, but you spend like the weekdays, Monday through Friday-ish, in the home of Crystal Smith and her family?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you've been doing that for a long time, right?
Yes, for years.
You did that when she was with Jason Fucci. You lived with them as a unit, is that right?
Yes.
And then she is now with or married to Michael Akel, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And were you also visiting and living at that house on Casadale Drive during the week leading up until when this happened in 21?
Yes, I was there.
Okay. Were you even there the week before this happened?
I was there that Thursday.
Okay. And then you kind of go home for the weekends and then come back.
That's why when I had said, I wish I was there, I wish I had like stayed and not gone home or something. Maybe I could have changed.
Yes, ma'am. So you observe this family a lot, correct?
Yes, I do.
And you've never seen any... we didn't talk about Mr. Akel a lot, but even from Mr. Akel as a stepfather, treated his family well, no abuse of Aiden that you ever observed?
I've never seen, I've been in the house a long time, and I don't never see that, no.
Okay. I believe you said that those kids had it all, right?
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
And they were spoiled and never went without, is
they
that
never
fair?
Went without.
You didn't see... anybody excessively use alcohol or drugs, is that right?
No, they weren't really drinkers in that home, you know, which is a good thing.
Okay. And I believe you said Jason Fucci never missed a weekend. He prioritized Aiden,
no.
Even though they were separated. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, he's always was there, you know, and pick up the kids.
Okay. Those summers that you talked about that he would come, he and some of his brothers would come spend with you, and maybe attend VBS. Was that when he was younger, like 7, 8?
Yeah, she wouldn't let him come when he was too young because she always worried about him getting hurt, you know. So I think he was like 7, 8 years old when she finally realized, okay, he'll be all right. You know, he's old enough to not get hurt and not to worry so much. So I was allowed to take him.
Okay. But that stopped in the teenage years, right? VBS is something for like elementary age.
Nope.
To junior
high.
All
the way up to the teenagers.
All the way through teenagers.
Still goes on, yeah.
How many summers did he do that with you?
Lots. I don't know. I can't. Well, I mean, it's once a year, so you have to think it was like 7 or 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, all the way up till he was 14. So.
Okay. And you talked about some mental illness in your son and your ex. Is that right?
That's correct. They do have.
Okay.
Some problems.
But you're not aware of any or observe anything in Crystal Smith, your daughter, right?
No, she's a good girl.
Okay. And you never observed anything living with Aiden that caused you concerns?
No.
Never observed? Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
Okay. You never observed him, like, responding to stimuli, hearing voices, anything that you needed to report?
Well... all the kids talked about the house being haunted, and I think I told you that, and I thought myself I would hear things in this house whenever people were gone. It would just be me and my older grandsons. And the boys would always say that there was somebody in this house, you know.
But outside of thinking their house was haunted, you didn't see anything that you felt was a mental health concern, Mr. Fucci would need to be Baker-acted, anything like that?
Oh, no, no.
Right. All right. and Mr. Frecci never reported to you. You know, you guys were close, right?
Yeah, we were real close.
Yeah, he never came to you and said, Mr. Akel is doing this, my dad is hurting me, nothing like that.
Well, I mean, when he would get in trouble, he would, you know, he would just say, I'm going to get in trouble with my dad, you know. But, I mean, that's any kid. You're going to get in trouble by your parents.
Right. But nothing above disciplining him if he were to get in trouble at school or something like that.
No. Oh, no. If they got punished, they would pretty much just go to the room, get their phone taken away or whatever. Wouldn't be able to go down to the lunch court, food court that they have down there.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Nothing further, Judge.
No further questions,
Ma'am, thank you very much. We'll remain if you'd like. All right, it is now 12:15. Let's go ahead and break for lunch. We will come back at 1:30, so I'll give everyone about an hour and 15 minutes, and then we'll continue with the sentencing hearing at that time. We're in recess.
That concludes the seventh segment of raw audio from the courtroom and the sentencing of Aiden Fucci. There's more to come. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.